99.5 FM. Coming up next is Ecologic, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
Oh, people, people, don't you love this earth? We share with everything that grows. Don't you want to taste freedom, peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It'd be paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, tell me where we gonna plant our seed. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
You can join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gillert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for July 1st, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today we speak to Ecologic Collective member Tim Keating, founder of EarthBuilt, who has been working on deforestation issues for decades, originally with Rainforest Relief. But first, we have information about cooking spaghetti, solar power in Texas, sea turtle eggs, a Montana train derailment, and Agent Orange in our food.
We try to start every show with good news, and we have some good news with an energy-saving, greenhouse gas-lessening, money-saving cooking tip. It's good to be an out-of-the-closet environmentalist. When friends and family learn something new from somewhere else, they often tell you. My friend Ira learned an interesting energy-saving, greenhouse gas-lessening cooking tip from the internet. When cooking macaroni, pasta, spaghetti in boiling water, instead of boiling the water for the whole cooking time, just boil the water for 2 minutes. Then turn off the heat, cover the pot, and let it cook by itself the rest of the allotted time. If you cook your spaghetti for 7 minutes, you can save 5 minutes of using gas or electric heat by cooking it only 2 minutes and cover. At the end of the usual 7 minutes, it will be done. I tried it. It works.
Renewable energy, especially solar power, is a bipartisan issue. It may have gotten its initial momentum in the anti-nuclear movement in the late 70s and early 80s, but it's mainstream now. The most conservative of New York City's five boroughs, Staten Island, has the most solar panels installed. Richard Perez, the head of solar research at the State University of New York in Albany, wrote and said on Ecologic that the huge blackout of August 14, 2003 could have been prevented with just 500 megawatts of solar power. Since then, thousands of megawatts have been installed in the state, the same in New Jersey, Connecticut, and Massachusetts.
Solar installer has been the fastest growing occupation in the U.S. for years and years. Traditionally, southern states with the most to gain have been the most anti-solar. That's changing gradually. CommonDreams.org summarized a link to an article in Texas Monthly Magazine by Dan Solomon about how solar panels saved Texans from another massive blackout like the one they had in February 2021. Texas had been having a massive heat wave with temperatures of 110 degrees and more in many parts of the state for days on end, even reaching 120 degrees in South Texas. It's solar-powered electricity keeping the air conditioning on without overtaxing the electricity grid or creating rolling blackouts. 15% of Texas summer electricity is from the sun. Yay! Many Texans turn the AC down a few degrees, but blackouts were avoided mostly because Texas has twice the amount of solar power than it had last year. Twice as much is not as great as it sounds when the amount was so low in the first place, but it is still going in the right direction. They expect to double again next year. Texas has installed a lot of wind turbines as well, but while you get more solar, the more sunlight you get, such as during heat wave, you usually get less wind-powered electricity. All that renewable energy means less methane and coal being burnt, and thus less greenhouse gases to fuel future heat waves. The Texas State Legislature, controlled by the Republicans and the oil and gas industry, intend to keep building new gas-powered plants anyway. What a surprise. There were hopeful signs back in 2014 or so with the Green Tea Coalition of the Sierra Club and the Green Party in Texas, but we did not find any current information in a recent search. It seems the fossil fuel industry retains its grip on Texas government. Solar energy output coincides with the air conditioning demand, and it's free. The sun doesn't charge us for its energy. We've been saying that on Ecologic for 21 years. Now Texas Monthly is saying it too.
Walking Jim Stoltz was a founder of Musicians United for a Sustainable Environment, MUSE. He died much too young, but left us with a lot of wonderful music. There's a website devoted to him and his music. Here is These Are the Ancient Forests.
Living thing has found its special place, and the lessons to be learned as the seasons slowly turn is written on the ages all in grace. These are the ancient forests, beyond no price or worth. Here now they rise in glory, the pride of magic. It flows so strong, it can ignore the life at every turn. From the tiny spotted owl to the mighty Doug fir, the gentle bent of a wispy fir. These are the ancient forests, these are the only ones rooted to all. Stand up, speak out, sing out for the ancient force. Each day I hear the dying call. Sing high, sing low, sing strong for the ancient force. Each day they tumble and they fall. night and guess I feel so humble at their feet. There's something in their presence, my God, it's almost holy, something overflowing and complete. These are the ancient forests, these are the oldest trees. Why can't we listen to the ages? Why can't we let them be? Stand up, speak out, sing out for the ancient force. Each day I hear the dying call. Sing high, sing low, sing strong for the ancient force. Each day they tumble and they fall. These are the ancient forests. Stand up, beyond no price or worth. Speak out. Here now they rise in glory. Sing out the pride of a living earth. The pride of a living earth. The pride of.
That was Walkin' Jim Stoltz singing These Are the Ancient Forests. His website is www.walkinjim.com. The site has info about the Wild Wind Foundation and its small scholarship given annually to two teens to experience the outdoors in possibly life-changing ways. walkinjim.com.
When reptiles lay their eggs, the temperature of the sand or soil will determine whether all the eggs will develop into males or females. There is a theory that dinosaurs were like that too, and that's what caused their extinction. EcoWatch.com reports that researchers from Florida State University decided to find out if microplastics in the ocean will affect sea turtle reproduction. And what they found out is not good news for all sea turtle species. The specific heat of the microplastic, polyethylene, is higher than that of sand. So the plastics would heat the sand to the point where all sea turtles will be female. And if nothing cools the sand down, the sea turtles will go extinct. Cleaning all the sea turtle nesting sites of microplastic will be a massive undertaking. Perhaps just shading the sand would do it. But if the sand is shaded too much, the eggs won't hatch at all. This is a story that will continue to unfold for years. We link to the EcoWatch article from our website, ecoradio.org.
Julie Conley wrote an article in commondreams.org about a 10-car train derailment and bridge collapse over the Yellowstone River in Montana last Saturday, less than 2 hours after we went off the air. Asphalt and molten sulfur went into the river, but solidified as it hit the cold water, and they were able to remove it. Otherwise, there would have been horrible effects to the air and water. Ms. Conley wrote, "Sulfur is commonly used as an insecticide, fungicide, and rodenticide, and is often used in fertilizers," end quote. It is also used in medicine and to treat produce. Ted Zukoski, a senior attorney in the Center for Biological Diversity Public Lands Program, raised concerns about similar potential disasters along the Uinta Basin Railway, which could carry as many as 5 2-mile-long crude oil trains more than 100 miles each day alongside the Colorado River's headwaters. The Biden administration has a plan for a railway project along the Colorado River to transport crude oil from eastern Utah's Uinta Basin to national rail lines. That could place the drinking water of 40 million people at risk. In addition to worsening the climate crisis by supporting the increased production of 350,000 barrels of oil per day, the Utah Clean Infrastructure Coalition has said in a fact sheet, "The heavy, long oil tanker trains used to transport crude oil pose greater risk of derailment and spills than other freight trains and an increased risk of fire due to the derailment and spilling of combustible oil," end quote.
Agent Orange on our food? The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency reapproved a chemical used in Agent Orange for use on crops. Really? Kristen Hemingway-Janes wrote an article in EcoWatch.com about Food Safety Magazine's report on a lawsuit from the Center for Food Safety, Pesticide Action Network North America, and Alianza Nacional de Campesinos, Inc. for the unlawful reapproval of toxic herbicides Enlist One and Enlist Duo, which are sprayed on corn, soybeans, and cotton that have been genetically modified to resist the herbicides. Critics of genetically modified food crops have been warning us about the use of chemicals like those. According to the lawsuit, EPA knew that the renewed use of Enlist herbicides would harm rural communities and wildlife by substantially increasing concentrations of 2,4-D and glyphosate in the environment, destroying important habitats for threatened and endangered species, polluting local waterways, and damaging native plants and crops, violating the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act. We link to the Food Safety Magazine article from our website, www.ecoradio.org. Our guest today, Tim Keating, brought the next song to my attention when I produced 18 hours of environmental programming for WBAI in October 2018. This is Bruce Coburn singing If a Tree Falls.
Parasitic greedhead scam. From Sarawak to Amazonas, Costa Rica to mangy BC hills, cortege rhythm of falling timber. What kind of currency grows in these new deserts, these brand new floodplains?
That was Bruce Coburn singing If a Tree Falls.
Special thanks to Charlie Olson of the Environment TV for helping to get the recorded portion of our show ready for you. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein.
And I'm Ken Gale. Coming up is our guest, Tim Keating, telling us how New York is protecting the rainforest.
After last week's good news about the Save the Hudson bill to stop Holtec from dumping radioactive wastewater passing both houses of the New York legislature, sounds like a good thing, right? We are still waiting for it to be sent to the governor for her signature. To give your opinion, please call 518-474-8390. Hochul's number is 518-474-8390. Please call. We don't bend to corporate advertisers at WBAI or at other Pacifica stations, as our funds come from listeners like you. And a few public service announcements. Did you make a donation during our recent fund drive? We hope so, but if not, it's never too late.
We always hear from people who used to listen to WBAI, usually about how they've rediscovered us and appreciate our independence and the news, information, and entertainment that is so different from corporate media. We have such a great history. Some of us have been listening for decades, not always consistently, but we come back and find good programs. Some of them are old favorites, like Ecologic, who's been on WBAI for 21 years. Help ensure that when you tune in next, we are here for you. Please support us with a donation today to let us know that you are listening. No amount is too small or too big. You can contribute by mail or call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
And those of you who are members, please watch out for the upcoming vote. It will be as important to save the station as it was back in October 2019. If you have donated at least $25 since last July up to yesterday, June 30th, or volunteered at least 3 hours, you are considered a voting member. There is voting every year, so becoming a member is always a good thing. Please send in your $25. This really is your radio station.
I was in a writer's circle at my local library reading Ecologic's upcoming news to them back before Donna and Sally were writing it with me. One of the people told everyone that when she and her husband moved to New York City because of his job, they felt very lonely until they discovered WBAI. Listening to BAI, she realized, we have friends here. Suddenly, she didn't mind having moved out here. There was a specialness to WBAI that goes beyond the shows themselves.
You who listen to WBAI have access to information that your friends and family who don't listen don't have. You hear experts they don't hear. You have facts they don't have. You know about events that they don't know about. This is your station, your programming. Be part of it, and please show your love by donating in the name of Ecologic.
There was an opportunity a few years ago, in October 2019, when producers and listeners met together to save the station from a rogue group from Pacifica that was threatening and almost closed WBAI. The good that came out of that is that we got to meet some of you. Gosh, you guys really are out there. Meeting you was the best that came out of that trying time. Or one of them, anyway. Another was forming a group of producers and listeners that we call WBAI Fight Back, who still meet. I met listeners who were delighted to meet the voice in person and went on about how valuable Ecologic is and say how much they appreciate us. Thank you. And surprisingly, me. Geesh, always nice to hear. Let's hear from our listeners more. We have to find ways. Of course, when you donate to the station in our name, we can know that you are out there. Also, when you like us on Facebook or write to our email, which is on our website, or come to our events that we need to schedule more of, like the recent tour to Governor's Island, or when you come to a rally we tell you about, let's think of more ways to interact. Tell your call center you are calling to donate or get a premium or become a BAI buddy. We like that. In the name of Ecologic.
DVDs of our other Celebration of Nature series are available as premiums for a $40 donation to WBAI. We have lots of premiums to choose from. Call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
We and WBAI continue to bring you great content only because of the support of listeners like you. And we have to ask for your help, or how will you know what we need? We support every environmental issue, so a donation to us is like supporting many groups. We talk about actions, seminars, lobbying efforts, and more. Help us to help community groups get the word out. Ecologic brings you actions you can take, rallies, marches, direct actions, letters, emails, petitions, concerts, webinars. It's all important.
Some of us can't get to remote actions, but there are lots of ways to support, including donating to WBAI and Ecologic so that we can continue to bring you activists, journalists, eyewitnesses, and more, along with environmental music and artists. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy. Your support of Ecologic really makes a difference. Call 212-209-2950.
If you hear a show coming on that you don't expect, no need to turn to another station. Go to the WBAI archives and listen to an episode of Ecologic that you missed or want to hear again. www.ecoradio.org has a list of the last 3 years of Ecologic and direct links to hear them.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
We really hope that you'll take the time to look through our list of premiums. We're sure you'll find something you'll want. You can find all of our premiums on ecologic.wbai.org.
And now you'll hear from our guest, Tim Keating. Welcome, Tim. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for that. My name's Tim Keating, and I'm owner of a consulting firm called Earth Built, and formerly the director of an organization called Rainforest Relief from 1990 to about 2015.
Now, is it true that New York State might protect rainforest at last?
It's getting very close to being a possibility, yes.
There's, great. Yeah, how's that happening?
We've been fighting, working on moving a bill forward for about the last 2.5 years that will mean if it passes, and that's There's a big if there, but it has passed both houses now.
That means bipartisan that, support, right?
Yes, actually, right. The vote in the assembly was fairly bipartisan. We got quite a few Republicans that voted yes for this.
Excellent.
Yeah, so if the bill passes, it'll. Change the way the state government and at least when it comes to tropical hardwoods, all municipalities within the state as well, their procurement of certain tropical forest risk commodities, so-called.
Give us more details on exactly what it does.
Yeah, I can run down a list.
Well, give us a summary.
It'll require state contractors to deal in forest risk commodities, and I'll mention what those are in just a moment, to certify that their products don't actually drive tropical deforestation or degradation. And so it defines forest risk commodities as soy, soy, beef, palm oil, coffee, cocoa, wood pulp, paper, and certain wood products. The other part of the bill, though, will close the very large loopholes in a 30-year-old state law that limited government's use of tropical hardwoods. And that's kind of the issue around the bill that's near and dear to my heart, having fought for so long to make that happen.
There was a bill to limit the use of tropical hardwoods, but they put loopholes in it.
Yeah, it passed in 1991. And unfortunately, as it was moving through, there were very few people outside of the state assembly at the time that knew that the bill was moving. And so, unfortunately, the only people who showed up were industry, that is to say, importers of tropical hardwoods. And I spoke to the sponsor of the bill some years later, and he said, yes, any environmental groups had shown up, we would not have had to have given these appeasements to the industry. But the loopholes basically meant that it was only a list of 42 species of tropical hardwoods that were banned from purchase by the New York State government and all municipalities within the state. All the other woods that over the last 30 years became incredibly popular, woods like Ipe and Kumaru and Eki that are heavily used by New York City agencies, were not on the list. So this is the main loophole. It also exempted tropical plywood entirely. And at that time, tropical plywood made up about 80% of U.S. tropical wood imports. So there are a couple of really glaring problems with the bill.
So, Tim, bring home to our listeners, let's connect the dots. Where and how is it important to our listeners that this bill be passed?
Well, first off, I don't know if your listeners are aware, but the European Union just actually passed regulations that will also limit the movement and sale of certain forest risk commodities in all of the EU. And, it's pretty precedent setting. The EU Commission seems to be really starting to pay attention to issues around biodiversity and restoration, forest restoration and things like that. So the EU regulation has gone pretty far, and it actually includes imports into the EU as well. There are a number of loopholes in the EU regulations as well, but New York State actually has moved a similar bill that only pertains to purchase by government entities through both chambers now, and so it will be heading to the governor's desk. We don't know exactly when that's going to happen this year, but it will happen sometime this year. There was a bill introduced in California as well, very similar to this, but it got vetoed by the governor. So it's really, really important that we get folks to rally around convincing Governor Hochul that this is, a critical bill. So in terms of, a lot of folks are very familiar now with all the media around certain, products driving deforestation in the tropics. And, beef, soy, and palm oil are the top three that are talked about the most. They're less familiar, I think, with the role that logging plays in driving deforestation. It turns out that selective logging in places like the Amazon is actually the primary factor leading to deforestation because of roads bulldozed by the loggers to get at these trees, allow access by other extractors who come in behind them and finish clearing the forest for things like agriculture. So
yeah, it's interesting.
What this bill will do.
You hear selective cutting, and that doesn't sound so bad. And yet.
That's right. Yeah, I tend to try to call it high grading because that's actually a more accurate term. And, as you say, Sally, the term selective logging has been kind of used by the industry to make it sound like there's not, it's very, very low impact. The reality is in the tropics, though, that so-called selective logging, given that trees like species like mahogany and ipe and kumaru, the individual trees only occur one or two individuals per hectare, or 2.5 acres. So in order to get at those very high-value trees, the loggers bulldoze a lot of skid trails and roads to access those. One study showed that 31 trees are killed outright, being knocked over, or damaged to the extent that they will die just to get at a single mahogany tree in the Brazilian Amazon. So imagine that you're hunting down an ipe tree, and to get at it, you end up kind of killing off about half the canopy of the forest just for that single tree every hectare. And that's not even considering the main roads that are bulldozed to get to the area. So it's really a horrifically destructive way to hunt high-value timber. And then these woods end up getting used on the New York City's boardwalks or park benches or the decking of the Brooklyn Bridge or, you know, pilings in the Staten Island Ferry Terminal, et cetera. So it's this incredible demand for these woods that, of course, pays for, I mean, the logs end up getting about $1,000 at the mill. So if you can imagine the loggers sending entire rafts of logs down the rivers to the mills. And Greenpeace Amazon calculated that one guy who owned 7 illegal logging companies was making $1 million a day. This is around 2000. So we're not talking about individuals who just are trying to feed their families. You know, this is big, big business. Illegal logging in places like the Amazon and Africa is big business. And in fact, it turns out, you look at ebony, for instance, which is the single highest value illicit wildlife trade in the world. Ebony. It's not elephant ivory. It's not pangolins. It's a tree. So, you know, this is really, really big business, billions of dollars a year.
Well, before we take your phone calls, tell us why we should care about the rainforest.
And I like your analogy, Tim, about hunting. You know, we're hunting the trees. It's so perfect because we're hunting them, and they're going to go extinct, and they're not going to reproduce anywhere in time.
Yeah, I think this way that we've had as a global society of going after high value things until they're gone. You know, you look at now even ipe, which when I started Rainforest Relief just a couple of years later, the Woodworkers Alliance for Rainforest Protection considered ipe to be a lesser known species and actually supported its use. I warned that ipe would become the next mahogany, and it was probably around 1995 when I said that to a number of organizations. And sure enough, by 2001, ipe exports out of Brazil topped those of mahogany and became the single largest high-value export of wood out of the Brazilian Amazon by 2003. And, you know, it was being fed by the conversion of a few boardwalk towns like New York City and Atlantic City and Avon, New Jersey, using ipe and then marketing by the importers that, oh, this is a, you know, these are the poster children of ipe use, and you should use it too. And they started marketing it then to decking companies. And then it took off like astronomically as a residential decking wood. And that now ipe has actually been listed on Appendix 2 of CITES and is considered endangered as a group of species of wood. So,
okay, Tim, hold that thought, and we'll continue. First, I want to give people the opportunity to call in. You can call in to talk to Kim Keating about our topics today, legislation to limit the use of tropical hardwoods. We invite you to call in with your questions. The call-in numbers are 212-209-2877. That's the call-in number is 212-209-2877. 209-2877. Now is your time to call. All right, go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
Yeah, and Donna, I wanted to answer, Ken, your question about why should people care about rainforests. It, you know, it's funny, when I hear that question, I kind of end up like rolling my eyes a bit, because it's like, well, you know, the fate of the entire world rests on the fate of the rainforest. And we now know that. First off, in my estimation, probably over 80% of all species biodiversity in the world is found only in tropical moist forest. And, you know, I could go through the numbers that have me using that figure rather than 50%, which is the more common figure. But I, you know, just suffice it to say that there's some research that's been done that suggests we have underestimated the number of individual species in these forests, probably by a factor of 10. And so that's number one, loss of biodiversity, species extinction. If you care at all about life on Earth, you need to care about the fate of these forests. Number two is that, and again, I'm going to use some of my estimates, having done lots and lots of research on this. People are talking about, you hear numbers, people referring to 10% of climate change emissions coming from deforestation. Other folks have said 18%. My estimate is actually, if you include degradation, which the UN defines differently than deforestation, and so when you hear people talk about, oh, from deforestation, it's a very specific term that is defined a very specific way, and it doesn't get at all forest destruction. So the logging, selective logging, they use the term degradation because they don't clear the entire forest to do that. That comes later. So when you combine deforestation and degradation, you have to double the amount of carbon emissions or greenhouse gas emissions coming from forest loss in the tropics. My estimate actually suggests over 30% of greenhouse gas emissions are coming from forest loss in the tropics. And so when you're talking about 30% of greenhouse gas emissions, that means we cannot meet our emissions goals without stopping the destruction of these forests. That's another reason we have to care. Yeah, it's exactly right. And then
in the early 2000s, I interviewed a herpetologist who was studying frogs in the Amazon. And when I asked him that question about why we should care, his answer was simply, God put those animals there. We don't deserve to kill them all. And that's a very simple argument, which is very effective for some people. And I can't help but agree with him. Whether you say science put them there, evolution put them there, God put them there, whatever, we do not have the right to kill them all. And the other argument is Rachel Carson's Silent Spring. Since so many of the birds that give us our morning bird song spend their winters in the Amazon rainforest, if there is no Amazon rainforest, they will die every winter. And eventually we will have the silent spring that Rachel Carson warned us about.
Mm, that's right. That's right. You know, neotropical migrants, I think, make up 70% of songbirds that we see here in the summer. You know, and they winter in Central and South America. So yeah, we lose these forests, we lose the neotropical migrants, and it's not just songbirds either. I mean, it's, you know, cranes and all sorts of other birds as well. So there are just so many reasons, and the hydrological cycling in the world depends on these forests. You know, basically, more clouds, more moisture back into the atmosphere. And, you know, the list goes on and on. And now we see, as these forests are logged and cleared, the weather becomes warmer and warmer locally. Obviously, we have climate change going on as well, and these forests are starting to burn on their own. And so with this vicious cycle that, you know, we'll reach a tipping point.
And we have one caller who wants to talk to Tim. So 212-209-2877, you are on the air.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. I'm calling from Peekskill, New York. I like the, what's the effect on greenwashing? Because there's corporations who claim they're environmentally conscious, but no, they're not. So just what's the effect on the rainforest of greenwashing?
That's a great question.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's huge, and we start to see it happening now when companies are claiming carbon neutrality and that they're, you know, purchasing carbon credits. It's all well and good that a company wants to do that, but when the rubber meets the road, no pun intended, the fact of it is that these certifications of carbon credits are relying on pseudoscience very often, and that's where the greenwashing comes in. There are companies that have been now, you know, sanctioned and exposed that their so-called carbon credits or their restoration is actually monoculture plantations, and there's very little trees being planted, and et cetera, et cetera. And the list goes on and on. And so one has to be very, very careful when corporations are saying we're carbon neutral and it's based on them just purchasing so-called carbon credits. The reality is we can't buy credit our way out of this. We actually have to reduce consumption of these materials, period. And there's no way to keep consuming at the levels that we're consuming and then buy credits and then get away, you know, somehow pretend that there's not a problem going on.
I heard on another BAI show a while back, somebody from Brazil talking about the people who, or the companies who say they're protecting the rainforest, and they kick out the forest protectors who have lived there for, you know, hundreds of years, thousands of years, put a fence around this piece of forest and say, you know, that's helpful, but it doesn't take into account the native folks who live there.
Yeah, it turns out that indigenous groups manage or steward 85% of the biodiversity of the world, and very, you know, they've had to fight for demarcating their customary lands, and in some cases now, thankfully, Lula is back in office in Brazil. It was a nightmare for the Bolsonaro administration. Deforestation leapt up again, and already it's dropped down again in Brazil because of the recent election.
Now, do you want people to support this bill or what?
Absolutely. So our main focus now is on the governor's office. And, you know, I can, you know, give folks the number if they want to write it down. And certainly they can, if they don't get it, they can look it up too. But it's, you know, Governor Hochul's office, 518-474-8390. That's 518-474-8390. And we're asking her to support the, New York Tropical Deforestation Free Procurement Act.
Well,
Deforestation Free Procurement.
It's time to wrap up. So thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks, Tim, for giving our listeners things to do. For more information, go online to Tim's website, www.earthbuilt, that's earthbuilt.com. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, everyone.
And visit us at www.ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org. In addition to an archive of our past shows, we have information on a variety of environmental topics.
And we have a link to earthbuilt.com. And this comes from the Raging Grannies. We will be at the Women's Rights Pioneers Monument in Central Park near 67th Street off Fifth Avenue at 12 noon on Tuesday, July 4th. And look forward to hearing more of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence with Norman Siegel's commentary and singing our patriotic songs. It will end by about 2 p.m. So that's this Tuesday, July 4th, 67th Street, Women's Rights Pioneers Monument.
The Elizabeth Street Garden downtown in New York City got some bad news on Tuesday with a disappointing court decision against the beautiful and much-loved garden. Once again, the city pitted gardens versus affordable housing. While luxury housing continues to displace New Yorkers. But activists are not quitting. They held a press conference that very evening and are collecting for their legal appeal. Allies are stepping up to help with donations of $10,000 in just a few days since, with an average donation of $31. For more information or to support, go to ElizabethStreetGarden.com. Spell out the word street. ElizabethStreetGarden.com.
Join us next week, Saturday, July 8th, when we talked with Paula Rogovin of the Coalition of the Coalition to Ban Unsafe Oil Trains about the Lac-Mégantic disaster's 10th anniversary and more recent derailments. To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums. Those can be found both on ecologic.wbai.org and on give2wbai.org. To become a member or to contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic buddy pledges.
WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. And, of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment, upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially. We are always glad to have you with us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. live or on the archives. If you listen live, we may be able to take your call and answer your questions. We appreciate the questions.
We love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. We are WBAI Ecologic, no dashes.
If you missed the beginning of the show, it will be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes. Our thanks to our engineer, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Saturday, July 8th, about train derailments. Or you can always find us on the archives. Check our website for details. Thanks for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
old pal.
So I want you to be my buddy. You've got a friend.
Good.
friends, or buddies, as we like to refer to you as here at WBAI. Either way, we invite you to join us and become a member of this fine radio station. We want to partner with you, but we want to do it in the least imposing and most painless way possible. Here's the deal. It's called the Buddy Pledge. You give us your support for 12 months, and we give you access to the most eclectic music, as well as the best and thought-provoking news, talk, and community affairs. Sound good? See it in your heart to pledge a minimum of $10 per month. Each payment will automatically be deducted from your credit or bank statement, so there's no reminders needed. Just join us for a one-year membership and go online at www.give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org and be part of our vibrant community. WBAI New York.
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Funny, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
I wonder whatever became of you.
Now, will you tell me what happened on Saturday?
All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoon here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We'd kill ourselves!
He's cool. He's exciting.
This dude is bad.
He's sexy. Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan. On WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got both.
Break him with the sound of the trumpet.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. He's okay. I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 WBAI.
New York City never slows down. It can be tough to keep up with everything. That's where WBAI City Watch comes in. Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock. I'm your host, Jeff Simmons.
And I'm Carlos Benchaca. And each week on City Watch, we try to make sense of it all, bringing on our policymakers, advocates, experts, and authors to understand the stories behind the headline. So grab your café con leche, turn your dial to 99.5 FM WBAI, or stream us on WBAI.org. Levántate. Wake up with us on Sunday mornings with me and Jeff Simmons, and get your news on.